Check, check, check. Man, rewind. Check, check. Welcome to the Alski Show. Don't forget, each and every Sunday, a new episode right here on Anchor FM, Spotify, and many other platforms. Before I get into the shout-outs and all of that good shit, I just I want to send my condolences out to the family of Kez 5, family, friends, YKK crew, and everyone that knew him. Great loss to the graffiti culture. True grimy, gritty graph writer from day one till the very end. Very sad news. Hopefully he comes out with that book. He had mentioned to me that he was going to be dropping a book, and unfortunately we never spoke again. Alright, I'd like to thank my sponsors: Stickified, Gallery 448, Family 561, Culture New York, C. Gomez at loopcolors.usa. Special thanks to you all. Special thanks to Mega for last week's interview. Alright, let's get into the shoutouts. New Rock 5, Chia, OTC Crew, FMS, Reps, Gyms, Rail Animal, Dual RIS, Part 1 TBS, DJ Elson New York City, Hashtag Respect the Dance Floor, Ton 1 TPA, American Inks and Thread, Killer Keep, ZE1, and to everyone that listens to the Alski Show each and every week. Once again, everybody, rest in paint, Kez 5, Kang 5, Kang Kez 5, K5. True to the game, man, let me tell you. All right, this week we got Send LSD on the show. Let's get on with the phone call. Little confused with the words, you know. It's like, how do you say rest in peace to somebody? And you know, it's like, you're here today, you're gone tomorrow. So you know, everybody just needs to, you know, love one another. You know, tell your people, you know, everybody all right. You know, give them that phone call, because you never know when their number's up, man. It's just fucking crazy. Really is. Let's get to the phone call. Send LSD. Check them out on the gram. All right.
Hello,
Mr. Send LSD. What's up, buddy? Nah, same old shit, different day, man. Just doing the shout outs, and you know, just can't believe fucking Kez is gone, and you know, fucking the world today, man. You know, it's like shit. You got to walk outside with a fucking mask. You got to wash your hands, your face, your fucking alcohol, this, Lysol, that. And it's like, what the fuck is this world coming to? How you been, brother? How you been?
Hanging in there.
Yeah. Well, you were close to Kez, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
I mean, and for you, I mean, sorry to say this, but you've been touched by a lot of death.
You know,
throughout the years with DG and even his
exist, everybody.
Yeah. VE, you know, years back, and DG's sister last year. It's like, what the fuck? I mean, we could go on and on and on about all the people that passed, but you had a, you know, a barrage of people, and I kept saying to myself, I'm like, damn, send new this one, that one, and it's like, fuck. You know,
I know. What all of them, fucking from V to DG, ass, all of them. I knew. I grew up with all of them.
I know, that's horrible.
It's fucked up, man. And that's somebody saying that to me yesterday. I think Boots 119. He was telling me that yesterday. He was like, "Damn, Sandro, everybody you know dies." I was like, "Yeah, I know."
Yeah, how is Boots? I haven't seen Boots since shit, the Bronx.
He's all right. He's clean again.
Well, that's good. That's good.
Yeah. So he's doing. You know, he's clean at least. You know.
You know, for people that don't know Boots, I mean, you got to dig into the history. Boots 119 was banging out fucking trains like nobody's business. You know, the era of many greats: Tracy 168, fucking Sun One era, Pro. And Boots is just a cool motherfucker. I mean, yeah, you know what? You know what the problem is? You know, you gotta say, you know, when people have a vice, you know, never turn away from them because, you know, they need help. So, you know anybody that's going through hard times, just check in with them. You know what I'm saying? I mean, Boots is good people. You know, we painted up in the Bronx. You know, we have fun when we hit that wall over there. And, you know, he's got great stories. I mean, you must have a shitload of stories between growing up with all these fucking great writers that are still around and unfortunately that aren't around.
Yeah, more and more so that ain't around, but yeah. I got, you know, I've been around. But I was in jail for so long, you know what I mean? So it's like,
yeah, but
I lost
you know
out
what?
On a lot.
You were, but at the same time, it was like you held your ground. People, you know, yeah. People know you. And it's funny because right in back of where I work, there's a send tag. And sending day. And I see it every day, you know what I'm saying? And I remember, I believe you were in, and I had DM'd it to your sister, and she, you know, she responded, thanks, you know, and I should actually send it to you now, but
I don't know, where is it?
Well, I can't disclose that. I mean, I could.
My bad.
I could text you that later.
yeah, no doubt. Yeah, no, because my bad.
Well, no, I mean, I don't want nobody to know exactly where I'm at, but You'll get the you'll understand when I send it to you. Actually, I'll send it to you in the morning when I get into work. I'll shoot a picture of it and I'll let you know where it is. It came from somewhere. I can't remember if it came from. I think it came from the city, and I was like, when it came in, let me see, was it the city or was it Brooklyn? It was probably Brooklyn.
Probably Brooklyn, yeah.
And it came in, and then another. Well, I'm not going to say what it is because then it'll be just like, duh. An ISO came in with it, you know, back to back. And I was cracking up because I was like, wow, look at this shit. And the funny thing is I, the locations, I didn't even know. I didn't even know they were our locations, but it was funny. It was funny. So when did you get to the writing? What brought you into the graffiti? I mean, were you born and raised? You were born and raised over there, right?
I was born in fucking what do you call that shit, Bensonhurst, and then you know, I used to go on the train with my mother, or you know, she worked in Manhattan. She was a doctor or whatever, and I used to take the train all the time, and then. We moved from Bay Ridge. We went from Bensonhurst to Bay Ridge to Bushwick. And then that's kind of like at the whatever the peak of like I met Audi, GA, you know, ARC, all you five dudes and shit. Mm-hmm. Mainly GA lived downstairs from me. So that's how I met Iceman. That's how I met fucking Rad, Dowdy,
the whole group five crew.
Yeah, because they, you know, Gia lived on the second floor. We lived on the third floor. So, fuck, anytime they went in the hall, you know, there'd be mad Puerto Ricans in the hallway. And be like, yo, what's up, little white boy? And I'd be like, yeah, yeah, what's up, you know? Fucking next, then Gia started bringing me in to his inside. And he was doing that back in the days. He used to do that magazine, Graph News or something like that.
Uh-huh. And, how is GA? You know, I know he was on the gram, but you know, guys change their screen names so much that I get lost sometimes.
He's good. I talk to him like every 3-4 weeks or whatever. I talked to him not too long ago because there's a certain toy going over me right now that thinks he's the real, you know, that thinks his name's the real name. And I'm like, nah, this ain't happening. So I reached out to him or whatever and a couple other older dudes. And they were like, give it a couple, you know, a little time and we'll take care of it. But yeah, I talk to him like every 3-4 weeks, you know.
Good.
He's good. And that's how I started really writing. Like I was, you know, and then I started going to school in Queens. And like, you know, that Maspeth, Glendale, Ridgewood, the, you know, all them schools over there, that special ed and shit with Dan and, you know, whoever the fuck else was in school with me at the time, Temer, you know, old school dudes, MSD dudes and shit. And that's how it started.
Wow. And you actually and then, started writing Send in the very beginning?
Nah, in the beginning, I was writing TM for, like, I thought I was Scarface when I was little. Tony Montana. And then there was a TM FYA, so I was like, all right, whatever. And then I met Dessa through school, through my friend, this kid Tommy Dior, D-E-O-R. He used to do, like, garbage trucks with JRC and Dessa and them. Uh-huh. So back then.
Yeah, I remember.
Yeah, so I moved to we moved to Ridgewood, over there on Madison and shit, and that's when I met, you know, everybody. DG used to be all the way up, you know, always in the park with, you know, Meg, Deck, fucking all of them, you know, No, NOE, you know, all the FYA guys, mm-hmm. You know, TZO, like the old school Rolo and all those Peak, you know, everybody from fucking Queens that was right down the block. Madison Park was like the pop, it was popping, you know, so.
Yeah, there was a shitload of riders that came out of that neighborhood.
Yeah, and then, you know, when I was mad young, I was like fucking 13, 14, you know, even littler than that, I think like 12, 13, I met Peak with my mother, and I was like, what the fuck, like this, you know, uh-huh. This guy's like my, you know, him and DG and like the, you know, Deck and Mag and them, they were like my fucking idols when I was little. And that's the game. He
started
fucking
way back as well. DG started writing a long time ago.
Yeah, late 80s, you know, mm-hmm. Middle of the 80s or whatever with SA. And Eddie lived on my block. SA lived on the block. Everybody, Madison's block, that block, like so many people came and gone. Like Claim lived on that block with his brother Snob. A lot of people lived on that block. So,
you know, there was one writer. Did you ever know this guy? He used to write Lodge.
Oh, Lodge, AMA, yeah. The tall motherfucker, yeah. 7'2", fucking
Holy
huge motherfucker.
Shit, me and New were in that school. What was the name of that? Grover High School, I think? Grover Cleveland?
Yes,
we're in the back, right? And, I don't know, it was maybe like 10, 11 o'clock at night during the week. And me and New were doing backwards pieces on the fucking handball court. And you know, like when you get that scent, like somebody's watching you or something. All of a sudden, I was like, yo, because I used to call New Pete, and he used to call me Pete. We used to call, yo, mm-hmm. Petey, Petey, you know?
And
I'm like, yo, Petey, I think somebody's here. So I'm turning around. And I can't remember the other writers, but I look and all I see is like a fucking, like a stomach. And I'm like, what the fuck? And I look up, it was like looking at a fucking tree. And I'm like, yo. So New turns around and like the two of us were like silent. And we were like, what the fuck are we going to do? We're going to get our ass kicked because it was just us two and it was like six of them.
Yeah.
And he was like, yo, you guys, Alski and New? And we were like, huh? And We were like, yeah, I mean, it's not, it was backwards, but it was legible. But, you know, at that point, we were like, what the fuck is going to happen now? And yeah. He just walked up to us and, you know, gave us five. And he was like, yo, push AMA. And I was like, what? I was like, damn. Dude, I was so relieved. You know, because seriously, I thought we were going to get our asses fucking handed to us because, you know, there was a bunch of guys there. And yeah. Whatever happened to him? I mean, did he move out of
Paul would know more than anybody because, you know, Paul was like, that was Paul's boy. Paul and them guys. I don't know whatever happened to Lodge, though, but...
Yeah, you know what? Maybe I should drop Poe a call one day. I haven't spoken to him in years.
Yeah, I don't really see him much. I've seen him, like, maybe, I don't know, 6-7 months ago, whatever. He was in Staten Island doing that, some place or some shit, and I seen him there.
So now,
yeah, I remember Lodge.
So now you stroll through this neighborhood, young kid, start writing graph. Where did it all go? I mean, it's funny because this interview should have happened a while back. I remember I reached out to you a while back. My thing is like, see, I love doing the interviews regardless, but you were always on my mind as far as I got questions to ask him because this kid grew up, knew a shitload of writers. Then this is even before DG passed. And it was like, I wonder what it was like growing up in that neighborhood because, you know, you rattled off a shitload of names, but there's a ton of other people that you do know that I know you know and that I remember, you know, as a, you know, a graffiti writer, when we were bombing, it was like, yo, where's that guy from? Oh, he's from Ridgewood. Oh, this guy's from Greenpoint. This guy's from here. This guy's from there. I'm like, damn, what the fuck? You know, it's like most of the writers in that late 80s, early 90s, just like fucking blew up that part of the borough, you know? And it's funny too, because you could basically say it's borderline Brooklyn, Queens, you know, and... Well,
Ridgewood is the borderline of Bushwick, and you know that's like even on the map they switched it over. I don't remember the whole fucking when I was in jail. I read about it, but there was like some history with why it turned to Ridge. It was called Ridgewood because that's technically part of Bushwick. Anything from Myrtle and Fresh Pond down to Knickerbocker Central, Myrtle and Broadway, that's all considered. That's not Queens. That's like considered Brooklyn. You know what I mean? But that, you know, and as far as the fucking all the people that, you know, we from that area, you're right. But like with me, I left when I was 15. So I bounced all over the place. But everybody always said, oh, Sen's from Queens or Sen's, you know, I'm not technically from fucking Queens. I was born in Brooklyn, moved out there. And that's how that. Basically, that shit got circulated around. But that right there, Ridgewood too, that Ridgewood area, that's the best place because the M train's right there, and you can get anywhere from Fresh Pond. Fresh Pond, you can go anywhere.
That's exactly what I was gonna get at too.
Three stops down, you're in Wyckoff or Seneca or whatever. You get the fucking L. You catch the L to anywhere you want to go. You know, Halsey layup, just you know, all that shit.
Yeah, that's that M was definitely a historical spot. Many writers, you know, would go into that yard. Me personally, I remember. I think I was in, I don't know, 7th grade. This is going way back. I ain't throwing numbers out, but regardless, there was this guy Amos from Left Rack City that I actually gave him that tag. And I really didn't think he was going to go anywhere. You know, he was a goody-goody in school, but all of a sudden, this kid was cutting out every day, you know, fucking writing, you know, going to the yards, going here, going there, whatever. He actually fucking nailed all the numbers, all the number trains, and the letters on top of it. And I remember he said to me one day, he goes, yo, let's go to Playworld and rack up some paint. Now, this Playworld was on 99th Street in Left Rack City. It was like it was like a Toys R Us. And we go in there, and he has this huge duffel bag and just starts throwing all the paint. The paint at that time was on the bottom shelf. Was throwing all the paint inside of his fucking bag. And I'm looking at him like, holy shit. You know, I'm thinking 2, 3, 4 cans. This guy loaded the whole bag up. I didn't even get a chance to get any paint because I was like looking at him like, what the fuck? And he's like, come on, come on, let's go, let's go, let's go. So now we wind up going over to the M, right? We get off. I forgot the train station. But there's a train station that when the train pulled out, he starts running on the tracks. And I start following him, but, you know, I panic because I never went. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And there's a hole in the fence off of the tracks, and there was a rooftop, and there was a fucking tree that he, like, sort of, like, jumped on to go down.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, man, this guy's fucking crazy. So me, what do I do? I'm not going to stop. I'm scared of getting called by the cops, right?
Yeah.
I go to jump on this tree to fucking scale down, and I fucking bounced off the fucking tree because I ran too fast. Hit the fucking tree. Bounce. I fucking drop. I thought I was dead. And when I got up, I'm like, yo, I can't stay here, man. My adrenaline was all over the place. My knees were knocking. My back had a pain from being nervous and scared. And I was like, yo, I got to get the fuck out of here. So we go back up, and now you got to jump back off. And he was kind of pissed off. But, you know, me, I came from a strict Italian family. So, you know, street bombing was one thing, but getting caught in an MTA yard and going to jail, my father would have had my ass. And that was the downfall of me blasting yards, because I got so shook from that shit that I never wanted to go. We used to do motion bombing, but it wasn't the same, like, you know, hitting the yard. You know, me and New hit fucking off of Baychester Avenue. You know, we caught a couple of quick fucking dusties on the fucking trains, you know, laid up. But I don't know. It just rubbed me wrong. And I was like, you know what, man? It's not for me. I wish that I was like, ah, fuck it. You know what? Big deal. I'm already here. Let me do it. I was just so fucking nervous. I was like, I got to go. And I missed out on some fucking era. But that M yard had so many fucking writers come out of there, you know.
Hell yeah.
And that back then, what was it called? TSS?
TSS, yeah.
Where the last stop is over there. You know how many times?
Metropolitan.
Yeah, Metropolitan. You know how many times I went in there and I said to myself, should I go? Should I go? And even recently when I wound up in that parking lot, it's not TSS anymore. I forgot what the fuck it's called, but I say to myself, should I fucking just do one, you know, just for old time's sakes, for what I missed out on? And then it's like, you know what? Is it really worth risking? Because, you know, it's not like the train's running. You know, all these guys that are smashing, they're getting their flicks. You know, you go to New York City Graph Head, this guy's posting all these clean cars that are getting blasted, you know, from the yard through drones and people that he knows, so on and so forth. And it's cool and everything, but what would be better is if the fucking thing ran a week.
Yeah, well, now with this COVID shit, shit's been running. Some shit's been running. I've seen a whole bunch of them European people coming out here crushing shit, and them shits be running. They run for like 2-3 days.
Well, that's 2-3 days. All right, yeah, that's good. But it's like shit, man. You know, sometimes I say to myself, should I go over there and fucking paint? Because if you go to Italy, their fucking shit's bombed. You go to Germany, their shit's bombed.
It's like,
you know, and then they want to come to New York, you know, the Mecca. That's where it all starts.
The Mecca, I know.
New York's got a good rap and a bad rap at the same time. I mean, I love looking at the old pictures of all the fucking graffiti on the subways where you could barely read any tags because it was just fucking saturated with ink. You know, but you definitely had to have a lot of fun with all these writers growing up, man. Tell us a little something. Normally, I'm talking about this coronavirus shit, politics. Yeah. I'm so sick of all of that shit. I'm truly convinced that the politics with this coronavirus is all bullshit. And what I mean by that, I think they're just trying to control us to keep us indoors.
I thought about it. I think about, you know, I was in jail a long time, so you know my mind is out. I'm against the government and all that shit. But I don't know anymore. So many people are dying, like, every day you dig up, you know what I mean? So I don't know if it's real, fake. I don't even know what to think. I just know that, like, it's definitely, it has its advantages for us, because right now, from 1 in the morning to 5 a.m., there's nobody on the trains. So all them good roofs and all them good stations that niggas want to bomb, this is the perfect time. Like, that's, you know, like, go do them now, because,
yeah,
certain, you know what I mean? Those track spots, you ain't going to never see no trains being closed from 1 in the morning. That'll probably never happen again.
Yeah, they're trains off for like 4 hours to clean them. I think they wanted to do it in the daytime, like, I don't know, if it was 1 to 5 or something. And it's like, how do you do that? I mean, how about somebody that's got to get home, that gets out of work at 3 o'clock?
You know? Yeah, I know. I got stuck in Brooklyn the other day because I was by my boy's house, and I was like, yo, I can't even get home. The trains ain't even running. The buses, it's all fucked up. So I just had to stay in Brooklyn. But
yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, it's different, you know? I don't know. But yeah, but that M yard, that was the yard that we all grew up on. Me, Giz, Dessa, you know, like, we were mad young. I don't remember what age. Asp took me and Giz in there for the first time. We were like, I was real young, and everything was still bomb too. It was like, you know, that yard was like that big impact on us, on the whole MTA. Because
Asp, you bring up Asp. Asp is Zex's father, and both of them have passed at young ages.
Yep.
How did that all happen with Asp? Because I remember he was bombing. I remember seeing him up all the time. And then
Asp, you know, he had the jail fever too. So, you know, he was in and out for, you know, and Asp never went for nothing long, less than 5 years. He always, when Asp went away, he would go away, you know? So every time he came home, he would just, you know, he definitely kept his name. Everybody, you know,
went on a rampage.
Yeah, and you know, Asp, he get you one way, you know, he can't get you in graffiti, he's going to get you another way. And that shit kind of, he embedded that in a lot of, you know, us from in that area too, because Asp was like from more Bushwick, but you know, he'd come hang out with the FTR like dudes and all that. And it was he definitely had like a big impact on all of us. And then you know, and then Zexa, and I remember when he was first born, and
that was a just, big boy, not for none. He was big. He had soul, he had heart, he was just out there.
Yeah, he was, you know, and then, now they're both, you know, God bless, it's crazy, but, you know, like you said with the vices earlier, you know, ask bad advice, so everybody got their vice, so.
Listen, I went through my phase as well, and now I'm going on 21 years clean. And it was it was the hardest fucking thing that I ever done in my life. And I did it on my own.
I wish I could do it, Alski. I just don't have that. I don't know. I do good, and then that shit bites me back in the ass. I don't know.
You know what?
I'm in jail. You could stay clean for a little while. You know, a couple months here and there, but everything. Everything surfaces. There's always something. Shit was fucking.
Me, what happened with me was I was too embarrassed to reach out to my family, and I was on a fucking blow mission for like fucking 11 years, and
that's pretty much what me too, with the weed and then that and then
shit.
The
I didn't even go to weed. I went straight to fucking blow. It was like, you know, I was doing the graph. I started, you know, DJing and all of that shit. And then with the DJing, alcohol, blow, women, it was like a party. Yeah. But what happened one day, you know, really quick on it, I thought I was dead. And I was like, fuck. And, you know, when I woke up in the morning, I thought it was all, you know, part of the high, but there was a nice hole in my fucking wall from my head, because it felt like a fucking train hit me, and I was like, oh my god, I'm gonna fucking die. And I did a half an eight ball, and I took the other half, and I said, I looked up, I was like, God, if I die, I die. if I wake up, I am going to stop. And that's what I did. I locked myself in the room 2 fucking weeks. The smell that came out of my body was disgusting from the alcohol and the fucking
blow. That's all the drugs coming out of your pores and shit.
And the only thing I did was I just smoked my cigarettes. And that's one thing that I can't quit for the fucking life of me.
Smoking cigarettes?
Yeah, I can't stop. So my advice to anyone is you really got to want to do it for yourself, not for your family or a woman, or it's got to be for you. And people till this day, they're like, "Yo, you still off?" And I'm like, "Yeah." They're like, "Yo, man, did you go away for it?" And I tell them my story and they look at me like I'm crazy. And I'm grateful that I was able to do it, and I'm grateful that I'm still alive. Because seriously, the way I was going, I was a fucking train wreck, man. You know, I was ready to fucking derail, and I was actually doing it to be normal. You know, you know when you get high to get high to get fucked up and all of that? Me, I was waking up, and I needed a fucking blast to set me straight. And, you know, every half hour or so, I had a, you know, pa-pa, you know the deal.
Yeah, and, I know the deal.
damn, dude, man, you know. And I'm grateful for it. The only thing, I got a little less tolerance for people that do it, only because deep in my head, I want to grab them and say, do it for you, man. You know.
Yeah.
And I would love to help people, you know, get off of that. But I can't be the one to say that. The person's got to want to do it. You know what I mean? Because relapse is very easy. It's the easiest fucking thing to do. You know?
Yeah.
So, not that I'm any better than anybody. I guess I just got lucky. But, you know, when you look back at people that we, you know, you lost, I lost, and everyone in general, for drugs, it's like, fuck, man, did we really have to go there? It's like society wants to kill itself, you know, between the government that wants to fucking kill you, you know, the insurance companies want your money till you drop dead. But, you know, the sad thing is, it's the people that are left behind that mourn, you know, like Kez, like DG, like Asp, Checo, I mean, the list goes on.
Yeah, Checo, a lot of people.
You know, and Diva. I mean, Diva, that shit. I remember when I found out, I was hitting a freight. And someone texted me, you know, Diva passed away. I mean, I didn't know her personally. But, yo, I stopped. It was me. It was me and Zeus. You know,
Zeus,
We're doing the car. And right there on the spot, I was like, fuck, man, what the fuck? And, you know, we knew she was battling. But, you know, you always have faith that, you know, someone's going to pull through. And, you know, we put a rest in peace, Diva, you know. And same thing with Kez. Okay, Kez had an up and down, you know, life, you know, like everybody. I mean, come on, let's get real. And when... you know, when he started looking like he was really in bad shape, you know, everybody was fucking kicking the poor guy, talking shit, putting videos up. I was like, yo, man, why do this shit? You know, try to help the fucking guy. Don't fucking kick him, you know, to the fucking curb.
Yeah.
You know, it's really sad. I mean, and then, you know, to be honest with you, it was Friday. He passed away. Was it Saturday night or Sunday that he passed?
Sunday morning.
All right.
Yeah.
That Friday, he DM'd me, you know, saying, what's up, blah, blah, blah. You know, I'm doing this and that, you know, talking about, you know, what he was going through. And he put, you know, I'm going to be coming out with a book.
Yeah, so, the book, The Bible of Graffiti.
Right. So I was like, yo, you know, if you need me to help promote it or whatever the case is, you know, I'm down, and, you know, I'm still doing my podcast. You got a lot to talk about. If you ever feel that you're ready, just hit me up and we'll talk. And that was the last fucking thing that I said to the guy. You know, so Sunday when I found out, I was like, shit, man. You know how you think people are going to just skate and they'll be around?
Yeah.
That's what I was thinking. That's what I was thinking.
We were going to go meet him, me and my girl. We're going to go meet him. And then I kept saying, where are you? Like, what side are you on? Like, the dark light side, where you at? Blah, 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 blah. And he was just like, I'm on dark side. And then he was like, nah, but I'm over here, lowbrow. Like, he was all over the place. And then, like, so many different people were like, yo, you talk to Kez? I was like, yeah, you know. And everybody was, he was fine for a minute. And then he called back, like, later on in the day. And I was like, damn, this nigga got high. I can hear him. I know when he's high. I know him, you know, I know his voice. And then,
yeah.
And he just started sounding all crazy. He started crying to me about, like, people that would go over him, that, you know, like, some of my people in cool area, they were like, he was like, yo, this all got to, you know, he was just letting all his feelings out, venting, and then.
Yeah, that's you know, so fucked up. You know, not for nothing.
V and DG, and, like, he was really close to both of them, and, you know, and, like, certain other people didn't like him, and there's a lot of shit. You know, back and forth, and yeah. I feel like, you know, I gotta fix all that now that, you know, that was like his wet last wishes, I guess, to me. You know, he like let me know what he really wanted done, and I was like, all right, I got you. And then next thing you know, I woke up Sunday morning. We were gonna meet him all day Saturday. We were like, all right, we're gonna come. He wouldn't tell me a specific place. He's like, all right, I'll call you back. Okay, he kept calling, and then, like, you know, Sunday morning or whatever it was, like afternoon, I got up and I was like, no way. Spot. Now, I talked to shit was all fucked up.
Did he leave the hospital?
Yeah, I don't know how that happened either. I don't.
Yeah, because
I just
that picture that he put up, you know,
he had a gown on and everything. Yeah,
I thought that was, you know, it's funny because my wife said, "Hey, hun, I think that's photoshopped. Isn't he in the hospital?" And I'm saying to myself,
"Yeah, it looked fake, the picture at first." That's what I said. I was like, "That's probably a fake picture of him." And then I, you know,
I don't know. I at this point right now, I'm thinking that he actually wanted to get a picture. You know, because he probably knew deep down inside, he probably knew it was his time. But
yeah, that last picture that he posted, it said that the picture of his face looking at the block, like the whole, that was the last picture I guess he took.
I guess he just wanted to say bye to the neighborhood. You know, you never know what's going through one's mind at a point like that. I mean, look, I thought that I was a goner that one time, and that is the ugliest feeling that goes through your fucking mind.
Yeah, that chemo shit fucks you up too. Like,
well, that shit really puts a beating on you, on your body.
He's had that since as long as we could. I remember I met him in the early 90s, and shit, he's always had it. He always been fighting it, you know? And I don't know.
Wow. It's sad. It really is. You know, and what you know, like on the gram, you see everybody paying homage to him. You know, people that didn't like him, people that did. And me, I got to say, you know, I didn't know him the way I wish I would have known him. If you could understand what I'm saying. I knew of him when I was locked up. Kez 5 tags all over fucking Rikers.
Everywhere. Right? I didn't forget about it. And I ripped down stickers in the 6th building to this day. My girl has them. I used to send them home.
But the thing is, you know, when you were bombing, you know, you saw Kez. You saw Scuff. You saw, I mean, you've seen a lot of people back in those days.
Yeah, and Scuff, Kez, Knox, Spot. They
it was
all
like,
over.
What the fuck, man? This guy is on a fucking rampage. I remember, I think it was the 90s, you know, when I saw him in Rikers, you know, people were saying, and I don't know if it's true, maybe you could put some light on it, that his father was some sort of cop or correction officer or something. Is that true?
I don't think so, because I met his parents. I've been in his house. I don't think his father, nah.
Okay, because that was something really I remember hearing. I remember hearing that shit fucking back in the 90s. But then again, everybody talks shit. But regardless.
Yeah, everybody. They always talk about Kez, too. Everybody's always, you know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
People talk shit about him. He doesn't even like probably didn't even know half these people, you know.
Oh, this,
everybody,
this,
now everybody
this,
got a story.
Yeah.
Oh, Kaz is my man. Every, you know.
Well, it's funny because someone had DM'd me a picture of an old Alski that I remember doing. It was 90 or 91. It was me, Nam, and New. You could see like the end of this guy's letter and the beginning of the other one, and you see the Alski, and you see a scuff tag like clipping the outline going across. Uh-huh. And they sent it to me yesterday. And I'm like, how ironic is it that, you know, Kez passes away and some random person was like, I pulled this out of my collection. You know, I'm sending it to you. And funny thing is...
Shit. That's what people do.
Yeah. The funny thing is I did it in 1991, but this cat took the picture in 1997. You know, and I was like, wow, 6 years, 7 years, that shit was rocking. And, you know, today I wouldn't have the balls to do the shit that I did back then because of all these fucking cameras. Plus, you know, I'm older.
Yeah.
It's not like I'm a little fucking kid. But the thing that people got to realize is, you know, everybody has anger. Everybody has beef. You know, when you're in the grav game, there's always some type of bullshit going on. But really, you know... People should just paint and leave the bullshit on the side, you know, and don't hate on people because they're getting up putting in the fucking work. And I think that was a major thing with Kez 5. Kez just was a fucking animal. And I got to say it, he was the grimiest, grittiest fucking bomber. Didn't give a fuck. He wrote on anything and everything, you know, just, he didn't care. And people, I guess, in the beginning were like, oh, this guy's getting up. But then once they started seeing him pounding out fucking, you know, everything in their fucking grandmother's cookbook, they started hating on him. You know? Yep. So... What is it that you could do? I mean, don't fucking hate. And I remember when I was like, yo, what's YKK stand for? And someone had told me, you know what, I'm not sure, but I think Kez said that he was pulling up his zipper and he saw the YKK on the zipper and that's how it all came about. And then it was, you know... All the sayings that it has now. And I was like, yo, that's pretty fucking cool because YKK, I remember you pull up any fucking zipper back in those days, there was a YKK on there.
that's pretty much, that's true.
It is true, right?
Yeah. Cool. That's true. Yeah.
But a lot of people bombed with him. I remember another kid grew up on my wife's block. And he was another good kid. And his mother was very strict, the whole nine yards, right? Yeah. So he walks over to me one day with this black book. And he's like, yo, would you mind hitting it? And I'm like, what the fuck are you doing with a black book? And he was like, yo, I've been practicing. I want you to look. So I'm like, practicing what? And he was like, oh, I'm going to start writing graffiti. And I'm like, what? Get the fuck out of here. So I open up this book.
Yeah.
And lo and behold, he writes Meso. And And I'm looking at it. I'm like, holy shit. I'm like, yo, kid, how the fuck did you, like, come up with this shit? The meaning behind Meso, he had explained it to me. I'm not going to get into that.
But
right away, I'm like, yo, you got to push OTC. I'm like, yo, this kid is off the rack. And he did, here and there. But then he came up with CHK.
Yeah.
And he started bombing and fucking, he was writing with another kid, Kef. I believe he's in
Kef,
Columbia.
K-E-F, Spanish Kef.
Yo, Kef is good people. Yo, he gave me a cat. And that cat was the best cat I ever had.
Yeah, that was Kez's own little buddy.
Yeah.
I met him in like 2000, 2003, 2004, I think he got deported or something.
Yes, he did, to Colombia.
He did, right?
Yeah.
To Colombia, yeah. So, yeah. That was Kez's boy. He used to rap states and shit and all the supermarkets.
Yeah, he was the coolest little fucking kid, man. He really was. And yeah. He used to tell me, he used to go, yo, I got a crush on your wife when I was a kid. And I used to crack up. My wife used to see him, what's up, all that. And what wound up happening was, now, Chris... Yeah, oh, shit, I just blew up his name. Fuck. And I don't edit. But anyway, sorry about that. Kid starts fucking bombing.
Yeah.
Right? And, like, he's gone. I'm like, where the fuck is this guy? I haven't seen him on the block. I don't see him anywhere around. And I'm like, you know, I hope he's all right, whatever. And I was asking my wife. We weren't married at the time. I'm like, yo, what's up with this dude? You know, I haven't seen him on the block. She's like, I don't know. I haven't seen him either. And one day I'm driving over the fucking, what is that? The Willie B. And I see fucking Meso. I see Kef. I see Kez. I see Colo. I see a whole bunch of fucking people. And I'm looking. I'm like, yo, that's the same fucking spray can. And then, you know, now going through this neighborhood, that neighborhood, and you see the Meso tags and the Kez 5 tags. And I'm like, oh, this guy's fucking bombing with Kez?
Yeah.
And from there on in, I was like, yo, you know, I was like, wow. And Kez pretty much bombed. I think he was more of like a loner bombing, but he did bomb with a lot of fucking people. You know, you see tons of shit, you know, through pitches and stuff like that. But
yeah. Bruise.
Yeah, you know, oh my 13, God.
Clock.
Clock, my man Clock. Shout out to Clock, yeah. TN. It's funny because one day, I don't even remember the story because I was so, you know, blown out of my brains. You know what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And someone gives me his number, Bruise's number. And to, you know, because I needed some shit, right? So he pulls up. He had a Jeep Cherokee. And we met up at the Long Island Expressway in 69th Street. And we start talking. And I'm like, and he's like, yeah, I write Bruise. And I'm like, fuck out of here, man. And, yeah, we just started shooting this shit. And the sad thing about that, too, years later, you know, he gets on Instagram. And I'm like, yo, what's up? Blah, blah, blah. He's like, yo, what's up? And I go to him, yo. When are you going to fucking do an interview for me? And he was like, yeah, man, I'm fucking down. I'm down. Boom. A few days later, fucking Vinny's dead. And I really thought they were fucking around when they told me. You know, but it was a good source that was, you know, that knew him well. And I'm like, yo, you playing, right? And he's like, nah, man. And you know what the sad thing is? Like many people that passed, including Bruise, I still got their phone numbers in my phone, and I won't delete them because I feel like I'm being disrespectful.
Yeah, I know. I saved all the Kez from the other day, all the DMs. I saved them all still. I'm not going to take them off.
Yeah, I mean, is that weird? Yeah. I just, you know, shit, down to my own boys that were down in my crew, you know, Payne and Key, and, you know, these guys passed away too. I still got their damn numbers.
Yeah.
And I can't delete them. I won't delete them because it's like I had this phone number for so many years. I can't even tell you what year it was that I got it, but I have it that long. And sometimes, you know, you scroll through the phone like you're bored out of your fucking mind, you know, and you're like scrolling, and you're like, boom.
Yeah.
You know, there's Payne's number. There's fucking Bruise. There's this guy. There's that guy. And it's like, wow, man, you know, and then I just shut the phone off because it's like, I don't even want to see it anymore.
Yeah, no, it's just stressful. But,
yeah, and yourself, you know, you to me, I mean, I think you're a good person at heart, even saying that, you know, sometimes, you know, it's easy to get clean, but it's also that easy to fall back, you know.
Yeah.
That's, to me, you know, through the way I see things, the first step is to admit that you have that problem. Because once you could admit that, it's easier. But like I said, you got to want to do it for yourself. But and not to even get into that type of shit, but you know, let's get back to, you know, the era. You know, you were in and out, you did your bids here, there, you know, and you're keeping it like you're active still on the street. People I've noticed give you a lot of respect. DG, when he passed away, you want to hear something even more fucked up? They were painting over there in the Bronx, and it was going to be DG, Germs, FC, Merc. It was going to be a bunch of guys. We were supposed to get together and paint. And yeah. I never met DG. Mm. And it was like, shit, man, I'm going to paint with this guy. And the weekend was coming up. You know, we were going to paint on that Sunday. And if I'm not mistaken, I think it was a Friday that he passed. I'm not sure. And it was like, yo, dude, you know, we ain't going to...
It was like the day before 4th of July.
Okay.
Like, so, it was, yeah, probably was a weekend. It might have been the weekend.
Yeah, because we were supposed to paint that Sunday. And then, you know, I believe it was FC that was like, yo, man, did you hear DG died? I'm like, what the fuck you talking about? And then, you know, from what people had known at that point, you know, about the tunnel and all that other shit. And I was like, what the fuck? I was like, well, how the fuck is this? You know? Yeah. And that's just to show you, no matter how much experience you got, when you play with the trains, you know, the freights, the MTA, or even highways or whatnot, you no matter how good you are, shit does happen. And a lot of people were like, I can't believe that shit. But it's, you know, it's a fact, you know, things do happen out of fucking nowhere sometimes.
Yeah.
And that I know how to hit you hard too. I remember, you know, a lot of people were like, what the fuck, man? How did you take it that day when you found out?
I just came home at that time.
Yeah.
I came home in March. I came home like St. Patty's Day, 2014. And then I was living with him and my sister in Bay Ridge. And then next thing you know, like 2-3 months later, he was coming to Queens to see me in SOE, FTV. And then, you know, we didn't see each other. We were like, everybody, we were in one way, he went that way, you know, and then he was drunk. And next, you know, and we went back to the house. Me and Soul went back to the house because we were up for like 2 days. And then I went, you know, I fell asleep. Soul went upstairs. I was sleeping in his basement at the time. And then Joe came down in the morning with my boy, SO Ecstasy. And he came downstairs and was like, yo, Jason's dead. And I was like, what? Like, get the fuck out of here. You know, it didn't really hit me at first until I went and see my sister. And then that's when, like, you know,
that reality hit.
Holy shit. Yeah.
What a fucking...
You know, Tina was there and DG's cousin Joe. Everybody was there. It was just like, what the fuck, man? I couldn't believe it.
You know what? I got the honor of meeting Jason's mother and his sister Tina. We had an interview at All the Right, 2015, I think it was. And let me tell you, his mother was the coolest fucking lady. I mean, she was
very
open, talking, and you know, back then we were talking about the fraud. I don't want to bring his name up, but somebody that was making money off of DG shit because he was replicating shit, saying DG made it and all that, and they were fucking pissed about the whole thing. And sad to say, I mean, I believe Tina, it's a year, you know, a few days ago, I believe, was her year anniversary that she passed.
And, yeah, the same day Kez died.
Yeah. So I was thinking of doing, when I do my throwbacks, I was thinking of putting that DG back out there again, you know, to hear, you know, just to hear Tina talking about her brother with her mother. And sad to say, may he rest in peace, Zim was there. Another one, you know. That guy was so fucking cool. He was a cool fucking guy. And same thing with him. He was gone. I was like, yo, what the fuck?
Yeah, Zim was yeah, I know.
You know, a really good fucking, a good soul, man. He was really a humble guy, you know. He was just really, really nice. And when I got that news, too, it was like, come on, man. You know, this one passed. And it's like the list keeps going on and on and on. When Zexa passed away, you had fucking Pabs 156 crew passed away. You had Phase 2 passed away. It's like, what, you know, it's ridiculous. It really is. And the other day, someone sends me another picture, and that was when I found out about all three of those guys, and I had a panel on a freight, and I looked up to the corner, and you see the three tags, and it's like, wow, you know, it's still running, thank God. You know, people need to respect that, you know, when you got fucking people lining you and crossing you out or whatever, you know, never cross out the names because you don't know if they're here or not, you know, so.
Yep.
Wow, man, how many people? It's like, I don't think we have enough time in the day. Like, if it was me and you sitting down right now in my house, and we were to get a pen and a paper and start writing down people we know that have passed, I don't think we'd have enough time in the day to even write it all down.
A lot of people.
But how do you feel about, like, the graph today? I mean, you know, you mentioned earlier, you know, you did your time, you come out, you go back, you know. What was it like, and like, how are you keeping in touch with the outside world when it came down to the graph? Because you know a lot of heavy hitters.
Well, to be honest with you, Jay visited me every month for 10 years, so I wasn't out of the loop at all.
Okay. All right. That's great.
You know, I had him and a handful of other people that would come see me. So, OJ, Dera, Lasso, Giz, Tessa, all of them, they all, you know, a lot of people were coming to see me, and especially for what I did. So, you know.
That's a lot of love, man.
Yeah,
that's a lot of love.
I stayed with Mayo. Everybody would, you know.
Normally, when you get sent up, people are like, "Fuck that nigga! I'll see him when he gets out."
Yeah, well, a lot of people did say that, but a lot of, you know, Jay kept it. You know, he kept me aboard the whole trip, so he kept putting. You know, he put me up. DG was doing pieces for me. DG would, you know, send me drawings, and practice and color them, and, you know, I would sell them in jail, you know, upstate and shit. Especially in Attica, a lot of people would buy shit in Attica. The cops even would buy, like, he used to do, like, Yankee drawings and shit, and I would paint them with paint. Like, the cops would even give us, bring in all types of shit for us, so, you know?
Yeah, you know what, I did a couple of months, right? And, I never left the island. I was always on the island. And there were guys that would come over to me. And, you know, they seen I was doing the graph shit, and I would do their wife's name, girlfriend's name.
Wife's name, envelope,
kids' name.
Regular shit.
And then I had some guys that didn't know how to read. So they would actually pay cigarettes. Yeah, see, there you go. So... Yeah. These guys would come over to me and say, hey, listen, you know, would you read this, you know, tell me what it says, and then can you write a letter back for me? Some guys would give me 2-3 packs of cigarettes, and, you know, at one point I was like, well, should I really take shit from these fucking poor guys? You know, I started feeling bad. When I wound up leaving, whatever I had, I gave it to all of them. You know, I was like, yo, take it, close the whole nine yards, because what was happening was, we had one guy that worked down when they took your clothes.
So the stay shop.
Yeah. So now what happened was, this guy, I was writing shit for him. So he was bringing me clothes up the fucking ass.
Yeah, they get everything free.
Yeah,
all socks, boxes,
t-shirts, you name it. So now I'm like, when I was leaving, I said to myself, you know what, man? I feel bad that I actually took shit from these guys. And the guys that gave me, that took care of me, I tried to take care of them. There was a few guys I kept in touch with. There was one guy, his name was Louie from the Bronx. And he, you know, he did a lot of time too. When he got out, he got out like 2-3 weeks after I did. He called me up. He was like, yo, man, I'm in trouble. I need a couple of dollars. I remember I met him up at 177th Street, and I went to give him money, right? That same night, his girlfriend calls me up to tell me that he got locked up again because he didn't know what to do with himself outside.
Yeah.
And he had money because I gave it to him. He wound up hopping the turnstile, and he was on parole.
Parole,
probation, whichever one it was, parole, I think. And they wound up sending him back, but not to Rikers, they sent him upstate. And I never heard from him again. So I felt like, you know, I felt that I caught a break. And like listening to these guys, and like some of the letters were really fucked up with the girl was like, yo, fuck you, get the fuck out, you're not coming here, and shit like that. Mm-hmm. And I felt that that was like the hardest shit that I had to explain to these guys, that at one point I wanted to lie to them. But then, that's how fucked up it is.
That's fucked up.
You know, because, yo, you're talking about big, brawny motherfuckers that, yo, dude, one kick in the fucking back and you're down, you know?
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, I ain't going in the shower. You know, but you know what? I think that jail isn't somewhere that we want to be. That, let's just face the facts. But what I noticed in jail, there was a lot of true brothers in there that you just met. You spent time with them, and they would talk to you like if you grew up together. You know, you're breaking bread with them, eating every fucking day. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I try to explain that to people out here.
Yeah, I don't think they could understand.
No one understands jail and the bonds that you make with people, and that's why I'm going so hard for that dude Roach TV, because I was locked up with him, and that's my brother, just like a couple other people. I was locked up with Victor 161 from back in the days. All, you know, anyone I'd spent over a year with, that automatically, that bond, that don't break.
Yeah, that's a brotherhood, man.
You know what I learned? People out here, they have all the answers.
They're
high.
Spoon
up their ass.
Sometimes, you know, I just ignore shit like that. You know what I learned?
It's hard when, you know.
What I learned in jail? Not that I'm proud, but I think it's genius. I learned one day, right? You know how you get that fucking white bread? And it's just like, bleh. It's like, come on, man.
It's as nasty as a bread you ever eat in your life.
Yeah. One guy.
I know.
They came up with some fucking paper clip shit. They would plug it into the outlet and toast the bread.
Yeah, yeah.
You've seen that. I'm sure you have, right?
Well, I've done it all.
My God. That, to me, was the fucking best thing, like inventing the wheel. You know, you're eating that bread, and you're like, come on. Oh, my God, that shit is disgusting. Me, I'm a bread guy. I love bread.
I love bread, too, yeah.
The minute that shit was toasted and hot, it was like eating a fucking pretzel at the baseball game, man. I'm telling you. But, you know, people paint pictures of shit that they don't know of because they don't know. And that goes for everything in life. It goes hand in hand with fucking waking up. And, you know, people take life for granted. And I personally feel like people that get locked up, they learn a lot. And they learn to respect a lot as well. I'm not saying that they're pussies. What I'm saying is they learn so much knowledge that it's good. It's a good thing.
Yeah.
And like when I was a kid, you know, like the kid was slow, you know, they would call him retarded. And I would always look at him like, yo, you don't say that, man. And what I've learned about, you know, like the mentally challenged, they enjoy life, I think, better than anyone. You know, because they're astounded and amazed by so many things that we take for granted that sometimes the terminology of, you know, slow down, smell the coffee, or stop and smell the roses, that shit is, that shit is a fact. It really is. And that brings us to, like, all these people that are passing away, you know, respect the dead. And I don't care if you loved the guy or you hated the guy. One thing you're not going to get, I really don't see anybody on the warpath that Kes 5 was on. You know, even Bruce, come on, DG, all these guys were rebels. They were warriors in the grab game. And, you know, these are guys that people hated and people loved. But, you know, when they're resting now, you know, respect them, man. You know, whether you fucking hated them or you loved them, you got to respect what they did for this culture of ours. And that's something I wish that people would really instill in their fucking mind. And the sad thing is you'll have those people that just don't give a fuck until it happens to them. And then they realize. And then that's too late, because now you lost someone closer to you than someone that was putting in work that you wish you did. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I don't know, man.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy.
But yeah, you know, I thought about you. I really did, because you know, so many people that have passed, and I knew you were like close with these people. And let's get this out there. I don't know Send personally. I know him through the gram. I know him through certain people. And sometimes, you know, you could read people and you know what they're all about. And I see the way you are. I see you take no shit from nobody. But at the same time, you're a cool cat. And, you know, when people put us down for like the habits we have had, do, that's wrong. And and like the same thing with everyone else that passed and Kes to this day, don't kick the person, man. You know?
Yeah, I know.
Don't kick the person. We're not dogs. We're fucking people. You know, we piss and shit and we sleep and we bleed just like everybody else does. You know? But what do you got to add to this whole fucking experience of graffiti today and the people that we've lost along the way?
As far as everybody that we lost and shit, whatever, as far as like because of the, you know, the drugs or whatever the case may be with losing people, I got DG on, I carry that nigga on my back, I got Exist on my neck, the people that I carry, I carry regardless, like Roach, TFV, DG, Exists, you know, I even had a Scene 182 tattoo, like that was my favorite writer besides Ghost and all that, you know, like the risk when I was little, like those are, you know, Ghost still to this day is probably my favorite, because he did it all. There's nothing that you could take from that dude. Whatever.
And the motherfucker's getting nasty now, man.
And he's just, and he's getting, now he's even like better. But like back when, you know, when I was little, I ragged him because I loved his throw up so much. I was just like, fuck this. I'll just rag him. You know, and then whatever, you know, now Giz is like, you know, and, you know, that's there, you know, Giz is boys, but whatever. I'm just, as far as everybody that's dead, dying, and died. And I think, you know, I don't know what the fuck to think anymore, because so many of my, I literally know that in the last 2 years I've been home, like almost a lot of my friends have died, and it's just, and like I said, people from jail, like I was with Roach did 27, 28 years, I was with him a good 10 of those years, like on and off through different spots, so.
Damn.
That's my boy. And now you got this clown trying to write Roast right now in the street. You know, I just don't understand that the dudes that are backing him claim that they're true to bombing and this, that, and the third. And you dudes ain't true to shit. because you don't even know your history. You don't even know where it all extend from. So I just feel like, as far as these new writers and some of them that even been writing just as long as I have, if I see you, we're not talking. I don't have nothing nice to say, and I'm gonna rag you, and that's it. You know, and I back up everything I do. You know, I don't run in crowds really. I'm usually with two or three people. Maybe sometimes half the time I'm by myself. I'm always on the train. You know, I don't drive. I never learned how to drive. I did a 6-year bid, a 10-year bid, and in between then I never knew how to drive. So my thing is, you know, I'm on the train. I'm in the street for real. But
did you ever think of learning how to drive?
Well, my girl now, you know, she actually, I fucked up. She tried to teach me one day. She took me to a field in Staten Island, and I smoked. I didn't tell her I smoked dust, and, you know, I started to drive a little bit, and she was like, wait a minute.
Hold up.
Something's not right with this. Get out of the car for a minute. And then I told her the truth. So she's like, I'm never going to try to teach you how to drive again. You smoked dust. You didn't tell me. You know.
I'm not laughing at you. I'm just laughing at how fucking funny it is because, yo.
Well, I thought I would be able to do it. I was like, yo, I'm going to be able to drive. What the fuck you talking about? I smoked dust. But, you know, out of it, I was like, oh my god, I could have died.
No, I remember one time, bro, no bullshit, I'm on the fucking Major Deegan, I'm going into the Bronx. I used to own a cookie route, right? And I got new with me. Now new never knew that I used to snort. That's how much shit I used to do. And yeah, we're on my route, and he's like, yo, pull over, man. Let's get this fucking spot right here. So we're doing the spot, whatever, you know, big fucking outlines with fucking 3D and all that bullshit, right? Yo, quick joints, but blockbuster shit. And fucking, we get back in the truck and we're driving. And he goes to me, he goes, yo, man, you gotta hit the gas. And I'm like, what are you talking about? I'm fucking flying. He's like, yo, dude, you're going to get pulled over and get a speeding, you're going to get a ticket for going too slow, not speeding. And I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about? Yeah. Dude, if I tell you I was doing 40 miles an hour and I thought I was flying, that I was getting paranoid that I was going to get a speeding ticket.
Yeah.
How many times my father would fucking knock on my window, you know, I'm parked in the driveway, passed out. And he's like, what the fuck are you doing? You know, you got to get up for fucking work. Meanwhile, I'm out fucking at night partying my ass off. And I'm in my fucking truck fucking zombied out. And my father's like, yo, you better run in the house, take a shower, and get the fuck back out and go to work. You know, so much shit that I did that I thank God that I'm alive because I don't know how the fuck I survived.
Yeah.
You know, that I didn't kill someone or kill myself. You know, yeah, man, you know, so when you said that, you know, that's what I was laughing at. I'm like, yo, I remember that time, man, that I thought I was fucking flying and I'm doing 40, you know, it's crazy. It really is, man. It really is. So how are you with the painting now? You know, starting to hit here and there. What are you doing?
I don't know. What do you mean? Like,
well, you starting to drop some tags here, there, fill-ins. I mean, fucking tags running. I mean, I see them myself.
Yeah, I've been doing little here and there stuff. Like, my boy, this kid, yes, BTS, he wanted to come back out because he stopped for like a minute. So I've been doing the Q line and the N line. But like I said earlier, I got this jerk off that keeps going over me lately. So a lot of my shit's getting dogged. But, I'm about to put him out of commission real soon. I didn't have enough paint to really do what I wanted, but I caught a Home Depot the other day for like 100 cans. So I'm gonna just go all his shit real quick. Yeah, I want to just like embarrass this dude because it's getting on my nerves already. But you know what it is now? It's like I'm all the way out in fucking Staten Island now, and like with this whole train thing and the buses and this. Like I said, I take public transportation, so it's like fucking.
Well, listen, you know they got those They got those freight spots out in Staten Island. I think there's one or two.
I seen Poet did some, and I was like, oh, shit. If he could, if he's doing them, I mean, you know, and my thing was, I was always worried about parole. I was on parole.
Yeah, I know.
Fucking, I did two violations for bullshit. A curfew, they gave me fucking 13 months, a backup state. And then the other one was when DG died, I was out past curfew again, and I was climbing into Joe's. Yeah, and then I got knocked for that, and then that was another year. So, like, you know. Now I'm not on parole, I can bomb all I want. It's just, you know, smoking dust. I don't make the best decisions. I do fillings on people's cars and crazy shit that I do. You know, but that's part of, you know, that's part of what I do.
That's part of the game, brother. Let me tell you, I remember when you came out, right? And then it was like, I believe it was your sister had put up a post, and I read it, and I'm like, huh? And I was like, fuck, man, he's back in.
And my first night out, ski home, doing 10 years, me, Kez 5, and DG did top to bottoms on the highway in Day Ridge. Them silver and black fillings.
Uh-huh.
They're on my page right now. Yo, that was my first night home after 10 years in jail. Bro, I didn't even know what the fuck if I was coming or going. Kez 5 came to the house. He was like, yo, I got paint. DG was like, bet. We went and did fucking Sand and Kez fillings on the highway. I mean, literally, top to bottom, straight letters. Me, Kez, and DG. DG didn't, he just did the YKK on the side of the sand. But that was my first night home. And, like, for the first couple, 3-4 weeks, I was with Scuff and Kez pretty much every day. Going to, you know, meeting up, doing, you know, learning how to do the stickers and do the can. I didn't even know what the fuck. I was like, canvases. What the fuck? Who writes on those?
Yeah.
You know,
like, oh, I was the same way, bro. I saw
a lot of shit after doing 10 years. I came home. I was like, this is what dudes are doing now? I was like, fuck that. Let's rob these shows. Let's do this. Everybody was like, Sam, you can't. Bro, this is not 1990 no more, man. You know? But I still have that old way.
Yeah, man.
Fuck. What are you talking about? There's 10 ghost canvases on the wall. I'm taking them shits.
Oh my god.
And everybody's like, no, you can't do that no more, man. These, I'm like, why?
Yo, then, I remember, right? I was out of the game for a minute, and all of a sudden, like, you know, this Instagram pops up, and people are like, yo, you got to get on there. You know, people are asking me about you and this and that, and yo, this guy's selling canvases, and I'm like, what? Yo, they sell sticker packs. I'm like, what do you mean sticker
packs?
Yeah,
I came home, I was like, what the fuck is a sticker pack?
Yeah.
What is that?
But let me tell you something, it's fucking amazing what you could sell now.
Yo, I see things now, like, you see, I came to that show that time you were there when the TMR guys were there and Derek came and everybody, remember, and Queens
Boulevard,
police, and
yeah.
That day, like, that was like one of, like, I did the violation and then I came to home, and that was like one of the first shows I went to. I, you know, the Vandal Hour was there, everybody, yeah, you know, I did the Vandal Hour like 2-3 weeks later. I did the Vandal Hour, but I was fucked up. I wasn't even answering the questions, man. I was sitting there and they were like, Sen, you on anything? And I was like, yeah, I took like 6 hits of acid earlier. And they were like, yeah, bro, you're really not answering the questions. And I was just like, yeah, you know, my bad.
Hey, that's the delay, man. That's the fucking delay. That's the delay.
Yeah,
of me with the gas, man.
Everybody's face was glowing and this, that, and the dirt. I was like, what the fuck is going on? I didn't really. And then the bandana they make kept making me. I was like, yo, listen, why do I have to wear this? I can't breathe.
Yeah. Oh, shit.
Fucking hate that.
I was interviewed by the Vandal Hour, right? And they put this fucking thing, they gave me this shit to put on my face, and I sounded like I was nasally.
Muffled.
Yeah.
And like, yeah, it's
and
like wearing these masks
breathe.
Now with this COVID shit. I can't breathe. You can't breathe, man.
Yeah, it's like, fuck, man. I really didn't like the interview because of the way my voice sounded. And I felt like I was forcing myself to fucking breathe and talk, and it was like, I didn't like it. I didn't like it.
I remember doing community service in like 1990, maybe like 95 or 96 or some shit. And I was with Is the Wiz. This is when he had that with that guy from Queens, that Pat guy or whatever, that graffiti guy.
Yeah, before Mia's over at the Fun Factory.
But before they did the community service there, they did it on the 7 Line on, like, I forgot what stop it was. This is when I lived with that kid, this kid Pax or whatever. Anyway.
Wasn't it Court Street?
It was somewhere around there on the 7 line. But anyway, long story short, was that I was with Iz, and Iz used to tell me, he's like, yeah, you know, if I would have known about masks back in the days, man, my lungs wouldn't be so fucked up, and blah, 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 blah. I always think of him. Every time I put a mask on, I think of that day when he was telling me, yo, you should wear a mask, brother. You should wear a mask. And, you know, and I'm like, fuck out of here, mask. Bro, I smoke dust, bro. Fuck out of here, you know? And he's like,
yeah,
no,
but Iz was a cool cat, though.
Yeah, he was really, like,
down to earth, dude, man. Yeah.
Really good dude, man. And, like, do you know what's so crazy? I meet all these older dudes now, like, after all these years and whatever. Everybody, you know, they have, it's like, I didn't know, like, how DG had such an impact on so many different people. And it's like, I'm like, holy shit. Like, they like, you know, and it's like, damn. When you live with somebody or you know somebody for so long, you don't think people really give a fuck. But it's like with Dessa. Like, Dessa's a fucking $1 million vandal, man. And to me, he's just my fucking buddy, like, since we were kids, you know? But, you know, he's been through hell and back.
Yeah, car accident.
And, you know, we had big troubles in the clubs back in the days. And a lot of things changed, you know. And now it's Listen, we talk now, and it's like.
I had the honor of interviewing him. I had the honor of painting with him, you know, in the freight yards. And his voice, oh, my God, I love his voice.
Yeah, he's got that Brooklyn shit, right?
Yeah, that and it's raspy, and, you know.
I love him.
He's a good guy. He's a good guy.
I love him. I love Zeus, too. I love Zeus. Like, yo, the kid, bro, I'm telling you. Even, yo, honestly, I know that's your boy, too. But he held me down this last violation. He took care of me. He sent my girl money, like, sent it. You know, he did a lot of shit that I was like, oh, shit.
Zeus has a big heart.
Yeah, and I know he's been up and down with shit, and he held me down, a lot of people hold me down, you know, because, like, when I'm out here, and when I am free, if people that know me, they know, like, if you need sin, I'm there, like, I'm, whatever it is, you know what I'm saying, I don't got these fucking teardrops for no reason, nigga, my shit ain't fucking TV rap commercials, man, like, yeah. I do this shit for real,
yeah.
But, you know, all these other people, man, with this whole, like you said earlier, with this new generation. I've now with Ken's being like, I feel like New York's gonna fall off, man. He kept shit going, King of New York. He kept that shit.
Yeah,
you know, he held that shit down. Like he destroyed people, literally, like whole crews. And I don't know, like Zex and all these. You know, everybody, like the team's falling. We're all like IR,
Zexa,
and these
Zexa.
They told me the other day, IR and these guys, huh?
Zexa, for a young kid, may he rest in paradise.
Yeah,
he was on the road to being a fucking.
Like, no, definitely. That's
king.
Exactly. Like, I remember, seriously. Like, you know, he came out, he was, you know, he rubbed a couple people wrong, but then he got down like a K, and, you know what I'm saying? And, like, everything started, yo, man, it's just, everybody, I don't know, man, it's just fucking, he couldn't live and ask, like, Ass did a lot of things that Zex wasn't really doing, but he did a lot of things that, and, you know, it's just fucking sad. It's, I don't know, man. I don't even, like, really talking about all these people because,
you
know, like,
I was really happy when they did the clean trains. They did, you know, a bunch of
nice. Right? I know, yeah, that shit was dope.
There was a few Zexa whole cars.
Yep.
That shit, when I saw that, you know, like the hairs on my arms, like, stuck.
I seen Ovi did a Kez yesterday, or like the day before. That shit made goosebumps. I just recently met that dude, Ovi, for the first time at a Hugo Martinez show, the 1990s show that they did. And I met Ovi or whatever. He was mad. He was cool. And, you know, and back in the days, we had all of Bushwick had beef with all the Bronx. You know what I mean? Like,
I met Ovi. Ovi seemed to be down to earth.
Yeah, and he did that Kez piece like 2 days ago. That was nice. I
was thinking of doing a Kez 5. And I got to. Oh, shit. What the fuck? Damn, we got disconnected. I hope his battery didn't fucking die. Motherfucker. Let me get him back on the phone. Well, if his phone died, I hope he gets a charger real quick.
Oh, yeah, I think it hung up.
Yeah, no, I heard the toot, 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 but I was like, shit, man, I hope his phone didn't die.
I kept hearing like noises on your end. I didn't know if there was, I don't know what
there's,
that was.
There's noises going through my fucking shit all the time. Sometimes I don't know if it's me, you, same thing. But yeah, I was thinking of doing a Kes 5 myself.
If you want, I'll go with you. If you take, I'll go. Yeah. I mean, I'll meet you somewhere.
We'll
I don't know where.
I mean,
because I do know a lot of fake places too. I know a lot of them from my days, and when I know how to in and out, you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm. We're not worried about. See, me personally, the Kes 5.
I'd love to do that. If you help me with the lettering and stuff like that, or whatever, like a Kes and a VE, we'll do them both back to back or something.
Yeah, I'm
maybe
down.
Like a DG.
I'm down.
I'm down. I'm definitely down.
See me.
Maybe I'll even ask see if Poet will go with us or something, because you know he does know a lot of spots more than I do now.
The spots.
Or fucking Zeus could go with us. Fucking
Yeah, I spoke to him the other day, and he was like, "You're gonna paint," and me and Zeus been going back and forth. Like he's like, "Yo, dude, you painted?" I'm like, "Yeah, you coming?" I'll be there. Meanwhile, I go through a couple of fucking panels, I leave. I'm halfway home. Yo, dude, you still there? Come on.
Yeah, I know he's not too good with time. I've been realizing with my a lot of graffiti writers, no one's really good with time. Timing on people's end is fucked up.
I don't know. Me, I'm like a fucking robot. I need certain times to get shit done so I could get back. You know?
Yeah.
But what I was gonna say about Kes 5. The number five is very sentimental to me because of my sister. My sister passed away in 98. And
98?
Her birthday is the 5th. And ever since she passed, everything I have is with a number five.
Mm-hmm. Five is like the, you know, five is everything in life. It's arm, leg, arm, head. You know what I mean? It's like the five from the, everything started with, five is everything. Hip-hop, graffiti, you know, everything, five. Number five was a strong number, you know?
So like my son, he started writing. He writes rock, R-O-C.
R-O-C?
And I told him, you gotta put a five
in
it.
Yeah, I think I met him that day with you at the...
Yes, he was there.
I wrote in his book.
Yeah, he's a little bit bigger
OCC
now.
Books?
Yeah, he's a little bit bigger now. I mean, compared to when you met him.
I met him with you that day. Yeah, I remember that. You said, "This is my son." I remember. He was like, "Yo, you write my book." I was like, "Yeah, of course."
And my son, you know, he knows the meaning with the number five. And he was like, "Dad, really? You want me to use the five?" Not when we...
Google that, the five, the fucking five is a strong... It's strong.
It's a great number. It really is.
Yeah,
so is. Me, the first thing, I was like, you know what? When I get a chance, I think I'm going to do a Kes 5 because, number one, I love the five. And out of, you know, respect to Kes, you know, whether it's a tag or this or that, but I really think I want to do a Kes 5.
I'll do it with you. I'm definitely
I'm sure you are down, and we'll talk. You know, we'll see what we could drum up together. But it's really sad because when these people, okay, because we are people, we're not fucking delinquents and all that other shit. We're people.
Yeah,
you know, when all these people pass away, it's like you know that there's an impact in the scene because so many people come out of the woodworks, right?
Yeah.
And me personally, I guess because I'm getting older, I don't know. I got a soft spot, you know, because nobody wants to go. I know I don't want to go. You know, I would like to live a fucking long fucking life, you know, long. And when they pass away, you know, whether they're 18, 20, 25, 35, 45, whatever, then you get, you know, some of the guys that are 50, 60, and you still say to yourself, you know, like Nick 707, he was up there.
Yeah, I did him a piece that same night that he died.
FaZe was up there in age. You know. And it's like, shit, okay, so they were a little bit older, but I know they didn't want to go. You know what I'm saying? So
Gandhi.
Gandhi was gone way too fucking soon.
I know.
You know, what do you do? So now, like, I guess because I'm getting older, and when someone passes, it really touches me. Like, personally, not because of the game.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that, you know, these are people that you grew up with, you seen them bomb, you fucking, whether you got them in a black book, or you got a picture with them, or you did a piece with them, or whatever the case is, it's like, what the fuck? You see, like, Nick 707, I was supposed to interview him, and he's gone, and it's like, wow. You know, you're saying, all right, yeah, dude, we'll hook up, whatever. Yeah, we'll make it happen. And then it's like, the guy's gone. It ain't going to happen now.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, what?
Man, I know. When you asked me, I was like, yo, I got to do this, man. Fucking, you know, I don't remember,
asked you a few years back, I think when you came out. And you were like, yeah, me? Yeah, you sure?
I said I'd do it, and then I fucking caught the parole violation. Like I told you,
I know.
I think everybody's getting over because they're letting people go now. And he like,
yeah,
I was watching the news earlier about that.
You know, I think they're trying to save people. You know,
well, what's that guy's name? Como, right? Como?
Yeah.
Como? Yeah, I was listening to him, actually. I'm not, you know, I told you before, I hate fucking any authority, but, yo, that dude, he's not really that bad of a, I don't think he's that bad of a guy, that guy.
No, well, you know, when it comes to politics, you got to be a scumbag here and there, but.
He's saying, like, a lot of, like, stuff.
Positive
like,
things.
Yeah, for jail people, too. Like, yeah. You know, like, I respect that. At least that, I give him that.
Listen,
I don't know about all the other laws, I don't pay attention, but I know, like, with criminal shit, he's like, you know, everybody deserves chances. He's like, not one chance, two chances. He's like, you know, and then after that, if you burn your, you know, then you pretty much fucked yourself. But he's like, you know, we're letting people go. He's like,
well, with this going on, you know, especially like the elderly that, you know, are prone to get sick quickly, you know, they were releasing them. That's great. It really is, because you know what?
Yeah, yesterday they let 150 people out last night. 150 people off Rikers Island last night.
Yeah. You know, that's a good thing. You know, you could go to bed and say, listen, I did something good. Hopefully they take advantage of it. And hopefully they do.
Yeah, that's what he was saying this morning, too, about, he's like, you know, we did let a lot of people out, and then they went right back. He's like, so now what do you do with that? And
right.
Like, you know, and then I started cursing the TV out, but whatever. I mean, he did say that, you know, he's like, we're giving you fucking one chance, then we give you another chance, and then you still come back, you went right back, like, what the fuck? You know, I understand the people that did 30 years, 28 years, 29, they come home, they don't know how to move without being in jail. They take showers with their boxes on, they still wear slippers, you know, whatever. It takes a long time to break out of. But like my girl yells at me, nigga, you've been home for fucking 2 years already. Get your shit together. Get a job. Do the right thing. Stop fucking around. You know, but you don't, you know.
Listen, it's not easy. We're all in like a bubble, so to speak.
Bubble, yeah, I'm in a bubble. I'm definitely in a bubble. And I live in a bubble.
You sometimes you just gotta think before you walk. You know what I'm saying? Because it's like you wind up being a robot because you're so used to taking like orders because of incarceration, right?
When you come home to your wife and she's ordering you around, how are you gonna feel? You're gonna feel like you're back in the cage, and then you're gonna rebel. And
even if you're not in the system, if you think about it, like me. I got a certain time I go to bed. I wake up the same time every day. I go to work the same time every day. I eat fucking coffee break same time every day. Lunch same time every day. I get out every time. Well, most of the time, the time I'm supposed to get out. I got my commute. And it's like you are now a robot. You are a fucking robot.
Yeah.
Because you have to function in society. You have to get through the day. When you come home, you do the same routine. You have your dinner, your shower, whatever the case may be, whatever order. And it's like if you're in the system, you have that. You have that routine. When you're out, you have that routine. So when you think about it, we're a slave to society. You know, that's what I feel. I feel that that not unless you are a free-spirited soul that could survive without going to work, do as you please, anything you please, at any time you please, I would love to be that person, but unfortunately, I'm not.
Yeah.
You know, and 99% of the people in this world don't have that option. And then you have the chosen few.
Especially
that
if you don't come from a lot of money. I don't think there's a lot of people that have that option. You're right.
Yeah. But, so, listen, I wasn't born with a silver spoon.
No, me neither.
Dude, I got bills up the fucking ass, man, let me tell you.
I know, I think everybody does right now, which is the last 2 months. This last 2 months has been hard on everybody, pretty much.
Yeah. I mean, thank God I'm working. You know, thank God I am working, but at the same time, I got to risk my life. Yeah. And it's like, shit, man. You know, I just, every morning when I wake up, I'm like, thank God I'm alive. Mm-hmm. I do my routine. I come home, and it's the same thing over and over again. I'm grateful for everything that I do have. You know, and I'm grateful for many things that I took for granted when I was younger.
Yeah.
So, you know, like I say, and I'll say it over and over again, sometimes we just need to slow the fuck down and, you know, thank God that we have what we do have, no matter if you have a little or a lot. Yeah. Happiness isn't money. I personally think the more money you have, the more miserable you are. I think just being happy and content with life, you know, if you could accept that, I think you could get through anything.
Yeah.
You know, just be happy. And that's the best shit I could fucking think of.
That sums it up in a nutshell.
Pretty much. So you got any shout outs? I mean, I'm sure your girl wants to spend some time with you. And
she's sitting here doing stickers. She's my girl's starting to get into this.
That a girl.
she's been around some heavy hitters, you know. Their influences is rubbing off on her, I guess. Yeah. But it ain't me. She wants to throw me to a wall.
No, I don't say that. Don't say that. She's there for you, right?
Nah, she's good.
There you go. So you know she loves you, man. She's there for you. You can't, you know. I don't think she wants to throw you through the wall.
I'll let you talk to her. I don't know. Fucking just rest in peace, Kaz. You know, DGV, Sane, and. Just all my boys, MTA, XTC, YKK, you know, that's about it.
That's it?
Yeah.
You got a short one.
Shout out, Sowski.
Listen, you know what? Just as long as you're happy with what you do, brother, just remember
thank you
that.
Thank you for the phone time. Thank you for the interview.
And we're gonna keep in touch. We're gonna make something happen, brother.
Yes, definitely.
All right, and tell your girl to tell her I said thank you for allowing you to yap on the phone with me, bullshitting with this interview. And I'll hit you up when it goes up. And feel free to repost, tell all your people.
Yeah, I will.
And listen, you have a great night, brother. And and I'm glad we finally got to shoot the shit on an interview. And much respect to you. I know your heart is heavy, you know, with what just happened with Kez 5 and everybody else that we know throughout this game. And hopefully we all live to a ripe age and we're able to talk about this more often. And we hope the people close to us stay around as long as us.
Yes, and, that's it.
And with that being said, folks, each and every Sunday, the Alski Show. Listen in, send LSD. And many other crews behind that. Yeah, brother.
All right, peace.
All right, peace. You have a great night, man.
You too, brother.
All right, stay safe.
Good night.
Bye. All right, people. That was an interview that was way long overdue. Sendez had his ups and downs. Knows many people in this graph game. New York City is the Mecca. And, you know, support one another, support small businesses, respect one another, love one another, tell your loved ones that you love them. And there's so many other things I could say right now, but The last thing I do want to say on the show is, rest in peace to all the fallen, to all the brothers and sisters that have fell short. Rest in peace, rest in paint, rest in paradise. Kes 5. And condolences to his family, friends, his crew. And most of all, everyone out there, much love and respect. Good night. Oh,